Would please, Ephesians chapter number 5. It's great to have you here today. Those that are here because of Jessica, I thank you for being here. It's a pleasure for us to have you here in the service. We've been looking through the book of Ephesians, just walking through it verse by verse. And this morning, we want to look at just one verse. That's Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is a unique verse because it finishes the previous section that we've already talked about. This is proven grammatically and otherwise. It's part of the evidence of living wisely, of living filled with the Holy Spirit. But it also is a hinge to the next section that Paul is going to talk about, and that is submission in a variety of relationships that we have. But he starts this, or he states in this particular verse that we're submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, it's interesting. The Bible is abundantly clear that as Christians, as people who love and serve God, we're to live for others through love and service. And that's, we could look all the way through the Bible and see this, but let me just give you a few passages of Scripture. In John chapter 13 and verse 35, it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works." And Ephesians chapter 4, we've already covered this a number of weeks ago, "With all lowliness of mind," or lowliness and meekness, "with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Now, part of genuine love is that I willingly give of my rights for the good of the one that I love. And that's not natural for us, is it? The truth is, for most of us, we are more selfish than we want to admit. Matter of fact, we just kind of like things our own way. I don't know about you, but that's kind of the way I am, you know? And if I have a choice, I'll just kind of want my own way. And, you know, you obviously want my way too. That's the way we think so many times, isn't it? And we think, well, how could you not want it any other way? Because my way is a good way, right? Well, God knew that that would be our tendency. And that's why he warns us, hey, look, we're just supposed to look to others' needs, not our own. And simply put from this text this morning, in order to live as God intended, we must submit to each other in love. Now, a passage like this automatically starts asking questions and, in many cases, exceptions. But what about? Well, let's just work through this and see what God is telling us. We're going to look at some companion passages as well, because I've said to you before, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. We'll let it speak in its own. So let's look first off at Paul's command. Now, the word submitting yourselves is a command. Now, the word submit means to subordinate ourselves. One author described it as of submission in the sense of a voluntary yielding in love to each other, to one another, mutually, if you will. I love how one author said it. He said, "Willingly serving others and being under them rather than dominating them and exalting ourselves." Again, that's our tendency, isn't it? To lift up ourselves in the process. Another author said it this way. This is probably the most powerful quote I saw on this subject. Notice what he says. "It is the opposite of self-assertion. The opposite of an independent, autocratic spirit. It is the desire to get along with one another, being satisfied with less than one's due. A sweet reasonableness of attitude." Boy, could we use a good dose of that, couldn't we? This is an opportunity to love other people in this process. So Paul simply says, hey, this is the command. We're to do it. And I don't know about you, but there are commands in Scripture, sometimes a lot of them, that I just don't like, right? Like, I mean, it's like, yikes, boy, that's a tough one there. God, are you sure that's what you said? Because that's kind of unusual for me. The truth is, many times Jesus, when he lived on this earth and when he, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned these words, he was countercultural in all kinds of ways. But he says for us to submit. And then the catalyst, what, not only the command, but the catalyst. What makes us want to submit? He says, in the fear of God. This idea of fear means to respect or to reverence God. So though this will impact our everyday relationships with each other, this is primarily about our relationship with God. Which, by the way, all kinds of things God puts into scriptures, it's not primarily about our relationship with each other, though it will impact that. It's really about our relationship with God, and therefore will live out in our relationships with each other. We submit to others because we respect or because we fear God. Not even all the time because the person we're submitting to deserves it. And you're like, well, Pastor, wait a minute now. If we're supposed to submit to one another, who gets to win here? Because if I'm submitting to you and you're submitting to me, what in the world goes on with all this? Well, let's then look at number three, the companion passages. So there are other passages in Scripture that give us this same idea, and I think it'll help us a little bit. The first one we find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse 16. And Paul says to the church at Corinth that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth us and laboreth. If you look at the context, Paul has just said that there were people who addicted themselves to the ministry. And he says, those kinds of people are the ones that you want to submit to. In other words, we could say it this way. Those people who have addicted themselves to the ministry and are helping Paul are the type of people that we should submit to. Or we could also say it this way. True servants will not abuse those who they're serving. That's interesting. A lot of times people take this idea of submission and they beat it over the head of someone else. Well, you're supposed to submit to me. You're supposed to submit to me. Do you know, and we'll talk about this a little bit later in an actual truth that we'll get from this text, but do you know the moment you use that, you're no longer obeying this scripture? You're not doing it because you're not esteeming the other better than yourself. The second passage is the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. And Peter says this, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then he says, similar to what Paul says here, yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. All right, so Peter says a lot here. He first talks about the idea as we submit one to another. He talks about being clothed with humility. Okay, a few verses back, we talked in Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, the one we're looking at, the idea of put off, renew, put on. Okay, we talked about the three-step process of dealing with sin in our life. We choose to put it off, we renew our mind, what does God's word say about this particular subject, and then we put on the new man, okay? And the idea behind that is clothing, that we put off the old clothing, we put on the new clothing. This word, put on humility, is the same word that Paul used before, put on. So just like you would put on a jacket, which you desperately needed this morning. By the way, I'm from Central Florida. It was 27 there this morning, and that's really cold for them. My brother was like, I'm going to actually have to cover my flowers this morning. What's up with that? But anyway, so we needed a jacket this morning, right? We put it on. Well, God is telling us to put on what? Humility. This is the motivating cause. We humble ourselves. And then he gives us some more motivation. It says God resisteth or opposes the proud. The idea, if we were to do a word picture, it's almost as if God stiff-arms us. God opposes. He stiff-arms those people who would demonstrate pride, that arrogant, haughty spirit. It means to be puffed up or conceited. But he gives grace unto the humble. This word humble generally means low, to be low, of no account, if you will, to be unpretentious. In other words, not attempting to impress others with an appearance of greater importance and talent or culture than actually possessed. All of us know what this is. You're like, well, you're pretty sure about that, Pastor? I am. Because all of us, at one point or another, right, I was going to say right or wrong, it is wrong, okay? We've tried to impress people with whatever. And that's exactly the idea here. Those who are humble don't do that. Humility, by the way, and submission go hand in hand. Pride and selfishness also go hand in hand. So when I am demanding my own way, then I'm demonstrating that I'm proud. And I might as well just see the picture of God stiff-arming me. When I say, hey, look, it's not about me, I want to serve others, then God gives grace. Now, question, how many of us want God's grace? Every single day, we need it. The third passage is Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. He says this, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. As kindly affectionate means to love dearly, to be devoted to them, if you will. Brotherly love, a sense of affection for a fellow Christian, showing honor, the honor of reverence or respect that's due that person, if you will, an action that comes about. In other words, I consciously show them honor. In the process, the word preferring means esteem or to prefer in the sense of consider better or to esteem more highly. Okay, so in other words, in the process, I am to always consider other people higher than me. A number of months ago, Ken Collier was here for a men's retreat, and he made a statement that's been very powerful in my life. He said this, always consider yourself the lowest person in the room. That's exactly what God is talking about here. And then the last passage is Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. Paul in the church at Philippi says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that low mind, low opinion, lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's almost as if the Apostle Paul was anticipating someone arguing about this point. Like, wait a minute. What do you mean I'm supposed to consider others better than myself? Because you don't know who I am, and you don't know how people will abuse that, and you don't know about this, and you don't know about that. And Paul immediately gives us an example. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he was God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Anyone that would argue this point, Paul says, look at Jesus Christ, who was God, who deserved all honor and glory and praise that we could possibly give him, but he did not see himself that way, if you will. He saw himself as a humble servant. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made like men. Why? So that he could die on the cross of Calvary to save us from our sins. Wow. And when we get that view, when we really see that, all of a sudden, that person that's in our house that we don't want to serve takes on a different process. Well, you don't know how they treated me. How did we treat Jesus? How was he treated on this earth? Like, well, how could we submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord? Can I tell you the chief reason why we can submit to one another is because we all come to Jesus Christ the exact same way. We all come the same way. We all come to the cross the same way. We come there admitting that we are a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. That nothing we can do can earn our way to heaven. He paid for that way. And we come the exact same way. Like, well, Pastor, you're a pastor. You came the same way? Yes! And I come every day to him and say, God, this is where I was wrong, and please forgive me of that, because I'm a sinner just like you are. And we come to the cross, all of us together. And it is there that we humble ourselves and say, you know what, Lord? The way I'm living, my life, my own way is not working. And I submit to your way. And when we do that, when we understand that, then it's easy to submit to each other. Because everybody has done that exact same thing that knows Christ as their Savior. And I want us to take these truths as I've worked through the text, this text and other texts, and I want us to look at some principles as a result of this. In other words, how does this help us live? Okay? So principle number one. Submission is not something demanded by us. To demand means you're not esteeming, loving, or preferring others. It is something we willingly give to others. But you're like, well, wait a minute. The Bible says that there's certain structures of authority. Okay, I'm going to deal with that in just a few minutes. There are structures of authority that God lays out in his word. But I've often said, and I've said here, and I've said in my classes at the Bible college that I teach at, the truth is, when you have to tell someone you're in charge, you're not. Right? Like, you just need to serve people and it will come. You say, well, shouldn't we want them to submit when God says so in his word? Yes, but that's motivated by them being obedient to God, not obedient to you per se. That's a byproduct. So are we demanding submission in our relationships? Number two principle, submission is more a reflection on my view of God than my view of others. I submit because of my respect, my awe, my love for God. And by the way, I can trust God to take care of situations. I can trust him. See, when we make it about my relationship with God, then the inadequacy of person-to-person relationships in which all are sinners goes away. Because it's really about my relationship with God. And I trust that God can handle the problems. The third principle. It is easiest to submit to those people demonstrating incredible servanthood attitudes. That's the easiest person to submit to. I'm not saying that we shouldn't submit to others. I'm trying to get this mic on here. This thing was muted. I'm sorry, Jason. I just figured that out. But in other words, when someone genuinely cares about and serves me, it's easier for me to submit to them. Now this is important as we work through this. Abusive leaders, whether that be any kind of leader, pastors, anyone who uses Scripture, the Word of God, to berate people, now get this, are ungodly and should be dealt with either by the law or by the church. In other words, these passages are not a right for authorities to abuse others. Never. Jesus called us to be servant leaders. So it's easiest for us to submit to those people who are demonstrating incredible servanthood attitudes. Are you the type of leader or person to whom it's easy to submit? That's a tall one. Number four principle, as we look at the scriptures, submission requires us to put on humility. This is active. In other words, I consciously put it on. I consciously tell myself that I don't deserve it. I consciously, every day, remind myself that I am simply a servant. I'm simply the under-shepherd of Emmanuel Baptist Church. I'm simply Lisa's husband. What does that give me the right to do? It gives me the right to serve her in whatever ways I can. And I should constantly be looking to serve her. By the way, you guys in here that have a wife and you're looking forward to next week's message on wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, you already got the wrong idea about this passage. Number five, truth. By the way, do I demonstrate a humble spirit? Am I humble in heart? Number five principle. Mutual submission doesn't mean there's no structure of authority. God still has structures. Paul's going to show that over the next few verses. But even these next few verses, which deals with husband-wife relationships, deals with children and parents, deals with employer-employees. He's going to go all the way into chapter 6 talking about this. But even that is built on a mutual serving and loving each other. In other words, we still interact by loving and serving others. Do we concentrate on what others are to do for us or what we are to do for others? If we're not careful, we walk into relationships or we interact in relationships and we're thinking, what can we get out of it? Rather than how we can serve. That's what it means to submit one to another. Sixth truth. A lack of submission is a demonstration of pride. Anytime I buck submission, my pride is showing itself. Am I showing pride in my lack of concern for others? Is pride seen in other areas of my life? Number seven, submission is motivated by a deep sacrificial love for others. This is the type of love Christ demonstrated for us. He literally gave up everything for us. He left the glories of heaven. He was robed in flesh. He came and ultimately died a cruel death on a cross of Calvary simply because he loved us. What great love. And that is the type of love we're to have for others. So that submission is motivated by deep sacrificial love for others. Do we have a real love for another? And how do we demonstrate that? By the way, it's fairly easy to love someone who loves us back. It's those that don't love us back that's difficult. But God says we're to love them too. Number eight principle. Submission means I see myself as low in position and everyone else higher in position. Again, as Ken Collier says, I am the lowest person in the room. In other words, genuine submission sees me as lower and everyone else as higher. That's because I am esteeming other better than me. I am not looking at my own things. I'm looking at the things of others. I am submitting myself one to another because of my awe and respect for God. So how do I see others compared to myself? And as we finish this morning, in a message like this, there are always the ifs in the message. But Pastor, what about if? Again, I want you to take everything that Scripture says. This is not an authority, quote unquote. This is not a reason to abuse authority. Again, if you do that, you've missed Scripture. This is not a reason for us to call to everyone else's attention. Like you walk out in the hallway out there and you say, hey, don't forget, pastor said you're supposed to submit to me. Like, you missed it. You totally missed what I was trying to say this morning, right? Because your attitude is supposed to be, pastor said that you were supposed to submit to them. That's what it's supposed to be. And when that functions, and when we're genuinely loving each other, and when we genuinely seek to serve each other, we got a bunch of people trying to outserve each other. That'd be a great environment to live in. Submitting one to another solves a lot of church splits, wouldn't it? Or bad church conferences, or even church hopping sometimes. They would solve a whole lot of problems if we could simply love people the way God wanted us to. To submit one to another. Like, well, I'm 70 years old and I've been a member of Emmanuel Baptist Church for 35 years. That kid's 19 and only been here 6 months. What does that got to do with anything? It's awful quiet in here. Like, see, the only thing that status brings us is a better understanding of how to serve. And again, if you don't like that, it's loaded in this book. It's loaded. And that's why Paul pulled in Philippians chapter 2 that ultimate card to say, here's the example of Jesus. This is who he is. This is what he did for us. So whenever I get to the point of saying, I don't think I'm going to be serving that person, Jesus served us. Now let's be honest. This is one of those messages that's easier talked about than lived, isn't it? It just is. And if you're sitting there going, nah, I think I got this down pat, no problem. Let's go back to the pride section and talk about that a little bit tonight, okay? So it just is. It's just one of these messages that's like, okay, I'm going to do my best. Because there are just some people, right, that you just don't want to serve. They just grate on you, right? You know what I figured out? I think sometimes God just puts those people in our lives on purpose. You keep putting those kind of people in my life, God, and it's almost like he's saying, yeah, you keep failing at doing what I want you to do. That's why I keep putting them in your life. Can we serve each other? Hey, we can because God told us to. And we can because we all come to the cross the exact same way. We humble ourselves before the mighty Savior who humbled himself to redeem us. What a great God we have. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, these messages are difficult because I find myself falling short of what you have asked me to do. And there's times when this old flesh wants to rear up and say, well, you are da-da-da-da-da, but it doesn't matter. In comparison to you, we are nothing. Lord, would you help Emmanuel Baptist Church to love others, to love people, to serve people, to submit one to another? Because of our relationship to you, so many other things will flow out of that. We love you. Now, would you just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment? Again, it would be really easy for me to say, boy, has God spoken to your heart this morning? Well, I believe in a message like this. Yes, God's spoken to our heart. There's been some specific things that he says, hey, right there, that's the deal. But did he speak specifically? Did God say, hey, right there, that's where you needed to learn, or that's where you needed to change, or this is an area you're struggling with? If you'd say, pastor, that I needed, at least in one of those areas, I needed that this morning. Would you just slip up your hand? I'd love to pray for him. Not going to embarrass you, but I needed that. Good, good. Thank you for that so much. Boy, how the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and lives with the truth of God's word. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, maybe you'd say this morning, you know what, pastor, the truth is, I don't understand this principle because I've never submitted myself
to the precious work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. He came to die for us because we are all sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why he came. Because of that, he wants to save us. He wants to cleanse us from our sins. We just have to turn to him and say, God, I'm going to come to the cross just like everyone else, humble myself and say, hey, I need Jesus Christ. I need him to cleanse me from my sins. And if we could help you, boy, we would love to do that. And you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need that. Never accepted him as my Savior, but I'd really, would you pray for me? I'd love to do that. Anyone like that this morning? All right, Father, thank you for the many hands that were raised. Oh, grateful that your Spirit's working. And would you continue to work now? Work in our hearts, we pray. And we'll thank you for it. Would you stand quietly, heads bowed, eyes closed? They're just going to play. If God spoke into your heart, would you come and just say, hey, I needed this morning. This area in my life is an area that needs to change. I've not really submitted one to another. I've not really been willing to love and serve others. Would you do that this morning?